is a presentation of the Match Talk Podcast Network.
Hello, wrestling fans. It's time for the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource was made that you as a wrestler, parent, coach, or fan can have access to all the resources of the very best in the world of wrestling. I'm three-time wrestling writer and broadcaster of the year, Jason Bryant, and I want you to join me, along with John McGovern and world champions Terry Brands and Dennis Hall, as we talk training tips, topical discussion, mental preparation, and more on the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource is sponsored by Defense Soap. Find World Wrestling Resource on Facebook at facebook.com/World Wrestling Resource and follow us on Twitter at WWRESO and, of course, on the web at worldwrestlingresource.com. Now on to the show as we join John McGovern, Terry Brands, and Dennis Hall. Episode 36 of the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. Jason Bryant here with you. And this is one of the best things about my job. And I do this wonderful thing of wrestling journalism and wrestling media and being an advocate for the sport. But sometimes there are days like today when you realize that sometimes you've just got one of the coolest jobs in the world. And today it's one of those reasons because I don't have just one Olympic champion on the program today. We've got two. We've got 1972 Olympic champion Dan Gable. He's been on the program before. Welcome back, Coach Gable. And Ben Peterson, 1972 Olympic champion, also been on the program before. First of all, this is just this. I'm kind of oversaturated with Gable recently, but Coach Peterson, first of all, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you.
And Coach Gable, you've been on the Attack Style program with Darrell Webber and I, and now with this program. Today's topic, we're going to talk about hydration and wrestling. But before we get to that, I want you to tell me a funny story about Ben Peterson leading up to the 1972 Olympic Games.
Oh, funny story about Ben?
Any story that you might find intriguing or entertaining, because I'm going to give Ben this opportunity to tell one about you afterwards. So choose wisely.
You know, I learn things, you know. I mean, I'm around a lot of people, but once I get around Ben, then I learn some things that are, you know, I don't know if they're normal or what they are, but they're not normal for me. I mean, I used to have a bellyache, and you know, once in a while, you know, because I might not have had the best food habits, but I'd get this bellyache, and you know, and I thought it was a bellyache, but Ben, he had a name for it. I don't know. What was that name, Ben? You remember?
I'm not sure I do. I sure remember using the word belly. So.
No, but I think it was one of those things that between you and John, you always had something that was unusual. And they had this name for a bellyache that was like Collymorbus or what was it?
Yeah, you're right.
You remember now?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You're the one that told me.
I had no idea where it came from,
though. You didn't even remember. What's that?
I had no idea where it came from, though.
I know, but I mean, where did that... That's what I mean. I mean, it's a bellyache. How'd you call it a Collymorbus or something like that? So, you know, here, you know, I'm you know, wrestlers, we, you know, tend to work extremely hard, and then we might overeat a little bit. And so the Peterson boys, I don't know if they overate, but they certainly appreciated eating, and sometimes they probably ate a little bit too long, too much, and they got up and they said, I got a Collymorbus. What's a Collymorbus? I mean, come on. All right. That's just one.
But, well, these days, Coach, I think we call what we call when we get in like food comas, we call it the itis. We go, ugh. It's not necessarily a bellyache. It's just like your whole body wants to go to sleep. You're like, I ate too much. I got that itis. I guess it's kind of the same thing.
You know, Collymorbus, itis, you know, it's kind of the same. But, no, I...
That's pretty close to your mother's comment, Dan, about Molly, being a Molly Punch. Isn't that
exactly
your mother that came up with that?
Right, and that's when somebody isn't doing what they're... That she's below her standards. Of course, her standard's pretty high, so there could be a lot of Molly Punches out there. Yeah.
I don't even know where to go with this, because that's just great stuff. Now, I guess I got to turn to Ben. Ben, your turn. Give me a Gable story about 72.
We were training in Minneapolis, and Coach Farrell gave us a couple of days off, weekend or whatever. But we were wondering what to do, and Gable says, "Well, man, you live up in the Wisconsin where there's all those lakes and everything. Let's go up to your place and we'll go fishing." Well, John and I are not fishermen, so we didn't have anything to go fishing with, but we got. We got poles, we got some bait. I'm not sure what all Dan did, but he got what we needed to go fishing. We didn't catch anything. It rained all day, but I think Dan thoroughly enjoyed it. John and I think we were miserable all day. But Dan's an avid fisherman, and it didn't matter what the conditions were. He seemed to enjoy that. Though he's never come back again to do it because I think he thinks it rains all the time in Comstock.
Well, he does spend a lot of time up in northern Minnesota. We actually talked a little bit this weekend at the Greco-Roman Hall of Champions about his place up there. And he says, I'd like to come up and, do an interview with you or just mic you up while we're fishing. He goes, you just hear me talking to my grandkids the whole time. So, Coach Gable, the fishing now is not necessarily all about catching the fish, but it's about spending time with family.
Well, we got to catch fish too, because if the grandkids don't catch fish, then they're going to be bored. So that's part of the procedure. It's just that the granddad doesn't catch the fish anymore. He just baits the hook, nets it. Or I'm netting the fish more now than I used to because it's like you learn lessons. I always never wanted to take a net out. Because I wanted to wear the fish out, kind of have him go belly up and just reach down, pick him up, and put him in the boat, especially the big ones. And so, everybody else wants to get it in the boat as quick as possible. I love the fight. I love that fight. And then I love to wear him out, and I love them to give up, and I win. But I learned that, sometimes in fishing, if you're going to keep that fish, that's fine. But if you're going to throw that fish back, then its chances of survival go down. So I let him use the net a little bit more now, but I really don't like it, but I am a kind of a nature guy too. So, it's fun, but it's not as fun as it used to be when I used to take me 10 minutes to bring a fish in. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to just have one episode that's completely on fishing and Gableisms, but our topic today, we're talking about hydration. And in 1997, 98, that season, it was Coach Gable's first year out of the full-time role at the University of Iowa. Three wrestlers passed away that year, Billy Saylor at Campbell, Joe LaRosa at Wisconsin Lacrosse, and Jeff Reese at Michigan. This caused sweeping changes, and this was probably one of the fastest policy changes in not just NCAA wrestling history, but NCAA history across all sports. And Coach Gable, let's just go back to that time frame. What do you remember about that situation? How controversial it was? I mean, it made the New York Times. I mean, wrestling was on the front page for the wrong reasons, and the hydration and weight cutting, the elephant in the room that nobody wanted to talk about is up front and center. What do you recall about that time and what eventually happened?
Well, I got to be a little careful here because I'm pretty opinionated in this stuff. This is, like I said, it's kind of life and death of people, and it's life and death of the sport. And, there's things that actually happened that were so unbelievable. And it's just amazing that it's like what's going on right now, in the election. I mean, there's a division. There's a division, again, it's good to have not opposite, but similar type of views, but not exact. And when you have opposite, then you do have problems. And I think that's where we're at in politics right now. We got one side that's completely opposite of the other side. So, at that particular time, I was actually on a committee, for the Wrestling Rules Committee. And then there was a committee on safeguards. And because these kids, all of a sudden, boom, 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 and it's like it never happened before. Another group stepped in and took over, and basically there was a lot of practicality with the other group, which is the wrestling group, And a new group that stepped in went exactly to science. And so they changed rules 180 degrees. And anytime you change culture 180 degrees in anything that's been that way for almost 100 years or 80 years, there's going to be some consequences. You know, instead of working together, the most powerful group was able to take over. And so some, instead of minor little alterations, we had major complications because of extreme changeover. And it didn't even happen exactly right away. It took about a year and a half or so to where the kids actually realized, the kids or the wrestlers realized that they could do some things that they had never done before and get away with it. And it would be their competitive advantage. Like instead of having a normal range of making weight, they would double that. I mean, and they'd weigh in the day before. You could weigh in 3 days before. I mean, it was just unbelievable, but that's life. And I think we're still paying a huge price, but I mean, there's some families that are paying a huge price too, but you got to realize what took place during that time. And, you know, we'll get into that a little bit more here. And I kind of had privy to some inside information from the Center of Disease Control, you know, those type of places. You know, we'll talk about that a little more. But I think it's one of these things that needs to be addressed again, because it doesn't need to be altered unbelievably, but it's kind of holding us back. It's kind of like the controversy of, is the singlet good for the sport? Does it help us or hurt us? You know, does the hydration test help us or hurt us? You know, there's quite a bit of discussion out there that really it needs to be addressed, and not just to the most powerful authority. I really think that you need to involve the practical as well as the scientific. So that's my start.
All right, Coach Peterson, let's get your take on this situation. And let's just start with the importance maybe of hydration and get into your opinion on how wrestlers should be hydrated, you know, the old school way, the new school way, the Ben Peterson way.
If you don't mind, I will actually make some comments about somewhat asking Dan if he knows any further as why those three deaths happened. And I think they responded to something different than what really caused those three deaths. Without doubt, there were ways that making weight was not always proper by athletes. They were doing things that weren't the healthiest for them. But none of that was dealt with. It was just that we have to do something really fast now because we've had three deaths. Why did those three men die? That has never been stated, never been explained publicly why those three men died. And I think that is significant, why we make all these rules, but we don't deal with why that had to come about. So when you ask, you know, what do I think of the hydration situations that we do today, I think there's some aspects of it that are good and advantageous, but they're so cumbersome. There's coaches and athletes that are just struggling for days to do things through the fall. I think if those same people went back and saw what they've created, they'd make some changes.
Ben, don't you think that a good term would be it's really unrealistic for a group of sporting people to have to go through some of these things that you're talking about, especially when you have to learn how to actually get around or to make it? I think the biggest thing is that they have some unrealistic expectations of your hydration. And it's really, it's a process where you can learn how to do it, but it's like, why should I have to go through all this? And it's just an unnecessary reality of the sport. But, you know, there is some educational value to what you're talking about, but it's really time to maybe relax and move forward a little bit more and make it more easy to be able to go through the process.
Yeah,
so
I won't argue with that. The process at which they came up with, how much have we adjusted? How much have we refined it since it was made almost 20 years ago?
And it, I don't think we have.
It was made overnight. And so my comment about various things that happened in the sport of wrestling really shows the resilience of the coaches and the athletes, how they all adjusted, you know, back in the late 90s when these things first started coming in, and they've made adjustments since on this and other things. And certainly it would be worthwhile for us to evaluate aspects of it. Can we get it sharper? In the recent copy of Wrestling USA, there's an article by Craig Horswell. He wrestled for the University of Wisconsin years ago. Dan, you might have remember, met him. He's a doctor.
Yeah, I know him. I know yeah. Craig. Yeah.
And he has a very good article here on perfecting the prediction of weight class is what he titles it, but he goes through and describes the different ways of the skin fold, putting the body in a tub of water, and how you determine what the fat percentage is by those different things, and how scientific or consistent they are. And there really is some questions about that, and who is actually doing the skin fold test, for example. There's an electrical one that is done. I remember having a skin fold and an electrical one done and testing me, and they get different results from time to time, and it just from minute to minute. There are just some things that can we do better on that. Those things are being discussed. They need to be. They need to be constantly evaluated, that we have the best possible testing scales available. And that's what
I think that's
he's urging should be continually refined.
I think what's been, I really like what you said, discussed. Most of the time, I don't think there's a whole lot of discussion. I think it's just more like whoever has the authority is going to move ahead and make the decisions. And, you know, I think the whole process, I almost feel like the practical, which is the people that do it every day of their life, whether it be the athletes or whether it be the coaches mostly, you know, their input is as valuable as science. And I know science does not like to hear that. But if you go back and if you look at the original 97-98 era, it was the science, you know, it definitely those changes that were drastic as compared to what the coaches had worked out over the years. Hey, there were some issues. And I think the best thing that's ever happened is just moving the weigh in, you know, up till closer to the match time. But again, there's discussion about that, and I think that even the 60 minute weigh in before matches is not, it's kind of hurting the athletes. I could say if my just based on my practical being involved with the sport day to day for my whole life, that, you know, if you had to weigh in 90 minutes for a dual meet instead of 60, you would really make the athlete not have to rush to a match. The 2-hour weigh-in, the first day of a tournament. Hey, I like that. We did that back in, when we wrestled for the Olympics, but, you know, I think 60 minutes is a rush. I think the 2 hours for the first day of the tournament's good. I think the 90 minutes would be great for the second day and third day or whatever. 90 minutes would be great for
all you do is give a kid a little more chance to do what he can prepare for to do. He's not really preparing to make. He's thinking about this weight and he's got to step on the scale, but you know he should be preparing for his match, and he can be, but you still got that last protocol, and you got to be. Doesn't matter whether you lost weight or didn't lose weight. If you're overweight, you can't wrestle. So, you know, anything you can do to make them little tweaks that would make it our sport better. You know, it's like the hydration test. Instead of maybe having a percentage of hydration that's really difficult to make, and you have to learn how to make it, which is good for education, but you know, it's more like, okay, let's make it more realistic. Let's don't make it like so difficult that you can't make it 90% of the time, or an average person on the streets would take the test and fail the test. So, you know, there's things that we can be doing a lot better. Now, Ben, you asked me some things about back in the day. Well, I think back in the day, which is 97, 98, and 96, 97, 97, you know, so on and so forth. And before that, yeah, there was little incidences, not major incidences, little incidences, or even ones that look like they could be major, but they weren't major because we didn't have any, you know, deaths due to weight loss up to that point in time. So, you know, it's like maybe there was something coming and we should have stepped in. But really, the culprits, and this is the inside kind of stuff that, the people should understand is that there were drugs involved, you know. And, you know, the type of drugs that were like what's called ephedra, which is a drug that I believe is banned now, but I think it took quite a while to get it banned. And, you know, it's like a drug that, my understanding, that it just shuts your body down when you have any kind of major stress or dehydration or whatever. And, you know, there's mix there with ephedra, maybe creatine a little bit, but mostly I think ephedra was probably the drug that was maybe the common thing that shut the heart down. I mean, how often, you know, when you get thirsty, you go drink water and you just come right back, you recover. But when your body's just system shuts down, doesn't matter if you drink water, you shut down. So, you know, I think that was one of the issues, and I think that's one of the things that they failed to take into account, and they're really realizing that education process, if it's not out there, maybe you can get that drug still under the table or out on the street or whatever. And so, you know, it's something that is dangerous and that should be known to make sure that you don't involve it with strenuous type of activities. So anyway, that's my say.
Yeah, and on that point, you know, creatine was, I believe, linked to all three of those deaths in 1997. And Coach, you bring up the point about ephedra and ephedrine, which was a popular additive to, you know, weight loss supplements that you saw all across the shelves, like Hydroxycut. And then once that, you know, they had Major League Baseball players having issues with it. And I think it was, there was a Major League athlete that did die as a result while being on, I think, or had complications with ephedrine that really kind of kickstarted that to come off the market. Now, when we get to the creatine discussion, this pretty much ended, these three deaths in 97 really ended wrestling's association with this product. I remember there was this stuff called creatine gum that was being advertised in wrestling magazines, but what also it also did is I go look through the old pages of amateur wrestling news. I've got 50 years of these magazines sitting next to me right now, and I go through in the 60s and 70s and looking what type of products that were advertised. They were advertising rubber suits because that was the process. So what came out of this is rubber suits were illegal. You know, the usage of saunas is, I think, always going to be there within wrestling, but the point of actually, you know, it's like, all right, well, being blatant about it is illegal, and, you know, things of that nature, that's kind of cleaned up the image and keeping that maybe making more of a positive image of wrestling. Okay, well, it's not all about weight cutting anymore. So the byproduct of these unfortunate deaths was, okay, some things that we kind of needed to get rid of in this sport, kind of we got rid of. And again, it creates more paperwork. And of course, the hydration, we're talking about, you know, different bodies, different athletes, but getting rid of the creatine, getting rid of the ephedrine, as Coach Gable pointed out, these were all keys in getting our athletes to do it the right way. Coach Peterson, your thoughts?
When I heard that about the creatine being involved in the, from the beginning, I kept waiting for somebody to do something about that and to actually say, well, okay, this isn't what caused these deaths, because even though we broke a lot of rules that wouldn't have been necessary the healthiest in losing weight, for 90 years there were no deaths. There was something else in the formula that we got three deaths in a matter of 3 months, 2 months. And so that was never dealt with has always been a frustration to me. And I heard of a couple incidents to our national team of some athletes who used creatine. And I guess in the end, it's suicide for a man losing weight to use that. It's just contradictory to the way the body operates. And they found that out. And the particular athlete who gave me the incident, he just says, I'd never put that in my body ever again. And when he saw what was happening when he was getting close to his weight. And so you're right, that to have any wrestlers dealing with that is it's just contradictory because of our times of dehydration, probably more than most athletes would have. I've felt very strongly about that. I've been disappointed that creatine was not looked into and really verified. Was that the problem? And if so, then let's deal with that. And if we need to deal with some of the other extreme unhealthy ways of losing weight that was done before, fine and dandy, but the real issue was not dealt with at that point. Dan earlier, I have a comment I want to make about the time away, but we should finish this creatine first.
Yeah, Coach Gable, your thoughts on as Ben points out, that the creatine right discussion
I really didn't know a whole lot about creatine. I just, I read about the ephedra, and I think ephedra is actually banned. And I don't know if creatine is actually banned now. It's probably not, but that's just part of the process. But I think what really has to be pointed out here is when you had a set of rules and then you change them 180 degrees, you go from 5 hour weigh-ins to day before, or even, couple 3 days weigh-ins, believe it or not, didn't have one weigh-in for the whole tournament, so it really caused more weight loss. And I can remember the next year going to some of the matches, and some of the same kids that I had on the team, I remember, who were actually lean and trim, they got their weight down properly nutritionally, all of a sudden I'd look at this kid and I said, my gosh, you look different. And he goes, well, I weigh a lot more now. But I said, you rest the same weight. He goes, yeah, but when you get extra overnight, two nights, you want that's a competitive advantage. And so he was just looking like out of shape. I couldn't believe it, and it was just, that's, people were, instead of, having a system that actually worked somewhat and we could tweak that system to make it even better, they went the other way. So instead of losing, whatever amount of weight, they were losing twice as much weight. And that just goes to, the fact that, again, not working together and one side taking all the authority. And they probably felt like they needed to because they didn't really understand what was going on. But that's because they didn't understand. I mean, when you work with something every day, you never want to get rid of those people. You got to still keep them there for giving you some solid advice. So, that's where I'm at. But anyway, I'll be interested. I'll be interesting to I'll be interesting to hear what you have to say here. So, you know, me and Ben, we go back a long way, but.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Dan. You're talking about the coaches needing to be in the middle of this, and certainly wrestlers too, but the coaches.
Well, you know, Ben,
seen it year after year, and would do
right. You know, I'm a big sauna advocate, but you know, it's not from so much weight loss; it's just from like recovery. It's for the. I mean, I look at it for the sport, for training, for recovery, for being able to get yourself, you know, your mind. You know, I use it for a lot of different things, but I use it for life. I mean, we're taking away some things that, you know, if people stay healthy their whole life, it's because of certain patterns of what they did in their life. And you know, if you use them right, they're good. Now, you may not have liked it like I did as much, but. You know, I'm still an advocate, you know, and I feel like those issues are educational issues, and we're in college. I call it a institution of higher learning, but yet we just ban things, you know, and it's like, whoa, let's educate these guys. And, you know, we can work it so we can't give them free access. But, you know, we should certainly educate instead of. We should follow what our school, the guidelines are, an institution of higher learning. And so by banning and just cutting out, all you do is you hold back your life. I mean, it's like, I think what I say is like, you know, if somebody smokes, you know, it takes a minute off your life. I don't know, every one of them, you know, that's what they say. You know, I mean, who knows exactly what, but. You know, and so I say about when you take a good sauna, it actually adds a minute to your life, or it neutralizes that cigarette you smoke. But you know, if you do, and you should, so you know, I just don't understand why people ever go the route of just banning something that or using something because it works. Like this hydration test, it's working. Well, is it really working, or do we know how to make it work? You know, that's all. I think there are some good rules to close the match weigh-in, like we talked about, and you know, everybody has their own thoughts on that. But you know, I just you know, I got my own. This is what I do. This is what I do. So.
Well, Coach Gable, it's kind of interesting. You mentioned the sauna and the cigarette thing. When we were over in Tashkent, Uzbekistan, there's these guys in the sauna smoking cigarettes. So that just like cancels out the whole effect. You're just wasting your time.
Well, not really, because the person that doesn't smoke actually is moving ahead, whereas they're just, you know, going equal, you know, and so it's like drawing instead of winning. But you know, maybe you won't be losing as much, but a little bit.
I just say that was a little unbearable. Plus, in these,
if you're in there, you can't. You know, you're inhaling the same thing.
Oh, it was brutal. It was brutal. Yeah. Me and Brandon Slay were in there. We're like, we got to get out of here. And of course, those Russian, the Soviet era saunas, they get pretty hot. They're not like, oh, it's a hot sauna at LA Fitness or something. This is a hot freaking. Ex-Soviet sauna here, but anyway, as we move forward in this discussion about the weight certification process, there's a lot of rules, there's a lot of paperwork. High school coaches complain about it, college coaches complain about it, but you know, you say there were no deaths before 97. We haven't had any since that are related to weight cutting and the questionable supplements that were being used at the time, the ephedrine, the creatine. And we've had weight class changes. Do we think that the weight class change has given us a college wrestling product that's better technically than it is focusing on guys that are 118 pounders, but they're going out there weighing 135 pounds? Coach Gable, your opinion there.
Well, you know, again, I don't like the fact that you take a weight class away from anybody in our sport because sometimes when you look at a kid that's just, if he's that small and he has to go against somebody bigger, and see, a lot of people don't, again, some of the questions, this is unbelievable, that of the people that were dealing with the weight loss issue didn't understand the difference in size for competition. And I can remember what they were saying to me. They were saying, well, a football player, a 160-pound football player has to play against a 300-pound football player. So what's the difference? Why do you even have weight classes and stuff like that? Well, that's just they have no practical experience. I got tough enough that I could wrestle different weight classes, but not at the beginning. But I had to get there to be able to do that. I mean, most time when you're out of your weight class, if you're going against a good wrestler, it's a major advantage to that heavier weight class. So, it's just depends on how you think. I mean, for me, that was one of my goals, being able to go up and be able to beat people in higher weight classes, because then I could maybe make it easier for my own weight class. But I do think that it's time to evaluate what's best for the sport, because we are losing kids right now. We're losing kids because it's a tough sport, more tough than the culture out there. But it's a sport that we still need to keep. We need some of that. And we, it's a sport that maybe we need to look at, why are we losing some of these sports? Well, maybe some people don't want to go pee in a cup. I mean, it's like, and I think, some people don't want to put that singlet on, but it's making decisions for the future that's going to encourage kids, because not everybody's going to play football and play basketball. And, our sport's good. It's a great sport. So we want to continue to add for the future, but we want to make it better for the future. And I think this is one area that the hydration testing can improve upon. It's pretty invasive, to be honest with you. So go ahead.
Coach Peterson, I'll give you a chance to wrap things up here. Final thoughts, just discussions, maybe some tips or ideas that the wrestling community maybe needs to consider as we make sure that wrestling is a healthy sport. We get the kids out for not just the sport and the competition, but for the physical fitness benefits of it, as well as the fun that and brotherhood that we and sisterhood that we all gain as being part of this wrestling community.
Well, I appreciate Dan's perspective here in describing, first of all, what happened years ago in the 90s. And it explains to me better of why we ended up with the rules we had. But I'm going to give you a perspective. When I was coaching then. I was coaching a college team. And we went through all of that change. And I became the cook for my team. All of a sudden, we're weighing in an hour before. I go to meets to this day, and I see coaches weigh in. If those scientists that made the changes would come and see what they create before a tournament, the kids all weigh in. The athletes, they weigh in. They come into the gym, and they're all lined up with their different teams. And their coolers with their food. And they stand there and eat for 5 minutes, maybe 10, and then they go out to get ready to compete. What I'm seeing teams now do is they warm up ahead of time before they weigh in, and then they eat, and then they do a hard warm-up ahead of time, and they do a light one after they've eaten and before they compete. And a ritual that they go through in those last few minutes with that weigh-in and meal sitting right in the middle of it in a gym all together. And Dan and I, we remember, we'd go out and get we'd go to a restaurant and get a meal after we weighed in. Then we would go to a tournament. We did the same thing with the dual meet. I think our product as a wrestler on the mat was better. And when I started, all of a sudden, I got to get a kid ready for competition, and he's going to have no time between the time he gets that energy in his body and then goes. And You say, well, then he shouldn't be losing that weight. Well, that's what we ended up doing, is we tried to avoid as much losing as possible. But kids are going to constantly keep trying to edge themselves on that. And so I say that time needs to be looked at again. What did we gain by doing that 1 hour thing? The day before thing was chaos, and whenever I see that just totally baffles me. If Dan is right, it causes people to cut more weight than they otherwise would. But so I think the time needs to be reasonable, that you can at least relax to get a meal before. Otherwise, why don't we just do it before you step on the mat?
You know, the mat side weigh-in has been discussed, and it's some people have been proponents of that. But I think what we're coming up with.
I would not.
Yeah.
So those are things that I guess I would really welcome a discussion and an evaluation on where can we change and improve it. Because the more things we have, that all these little things that go on in the fall. I see this in the teams that I work with. I go in this kid sitting along the edge. They can't work out yet because they haven't made hydration. They haven't been able to weigh in yet. And that goes on over and over again. And the times at which the schools are, and the medical people are not available to do it. And it just you tell a kid he's got to do this. Just more reasons. What am I going through this for? And Dan and I, we've coached guys who are serious. They're going to go through whatever we give them. But why in the world do we have to do that to everybody? We should be able to find some ways to make this simpler.
Coach Gable, final thoughts as we wrap up this episode.
Well, I agree totally with what he's saying. You know, I think the mat side thing, again, he doesn't like that either. And that can't happen, because if that happens, then now you're focused totally on weighing in instead of wrestling. And the fact that kids are going to miss weight at there because they're going to stop by and get a drink, and they don't even lose any weight, and they're totally hydrated, but they're overweight. So you're just going to make a mess of things. But you know, when I say an hour and a half, you know, I'm just saying let's start working towards something that's reasonable. And so he jumps right into it, and he's doing what I really would rather do. But you know, I know that people are going to have a hard time jumping back to something that they said, well, that was the case for many years, and we had a lot of issues. Well, I think the big issues is education, and the big issues is teaching kids, how to be nutritioned, how to have nutrition, and how to, if you're going to lose body fat, you do it the right way. So, you know, that's part of the process, but anyway, there's some protocols that Ben is talking about that are absolutely holding our sport back. Mike Moyer, the head of the Coaches Association, says, you know, our sport's been kind of going downhill. And I don't think it's really because of our sport. I think it's because of a lot of the little intricacies that you have to do to be a wrestler nowadays. And maybe some people just want it to go away. And so maybe they're working against us. Well, there's enough that's working for us that's not going to happen. But the numbers, you can affect the numbers. And we just want to actually promote our sport as well as we can and educate our kids as much as we can. And if we work back into it and we give them 3 hours, you know, we had 5 hours and that was pretty good. But you know, I don't think they're going to jump right back into something that they said that maybe had a lot of issues. It was causing some weight loss issues like day before. I mean, if you look at the Olympics and the World Championships, they all are the day before. And I don't necessarily, they all wrestle on the same day now. And that's being looked at pretty heavily right now, and it might be going to 2 days. And now the big controversy there will be whether you weigh in 2 days or not. And they're going to, the upper people aren't going to want to weigh in 2 days. So they're going to go with one weigh in probably, but it should be two days, and they should give them, you know, a kilogram the next day or a pound or whatever. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's just that the people of authority are going to make some decisions, and they're going to want to do it the easiest way instead of necessarily the right way. And, you know, there's, we'll see what happens, but, for our sport, you know, we always want to do the right thing, but sometimes, we do the wrong thing, and it's usually a group of people that really are, in control, and sometimes they think it's the right way, but it's just, you got to know more the right way, and you don't want to make the same mistake twice. So yeah, I really enjoyed what Ben said there, because ideally that's what we'd like to be, but let's start. If anything, let's make some decisions that are actually heading in the direction that we think our sport needs. And so I agree.
Is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network.
For more wrestling podcasts, head over to MattTalkOnline.com.